Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Kama, Daf Ayin Tes, and we will begin on Daf Ayin Ches Amud Beis, the last line. Tana Rabbonim. Ganav Nosan L'Acher. If somebody stole an shor or seh, gave it to someone else, v'tavach, and that other individual shechted the animal. Or Ganav Nosan L'Acher, he stole an item and gave it to someone else, u'machar, and that other individual sold the shavasah, gone off a higdish. If somebody stole something and then he was magdishit, and the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara, gone off a higdish, going back to what we learned earlier, that the higdish took place prior to Yiyush. Because if the higdish took place after Yiyush, then it's already, as we learned so many times in the Masechta, Shaloyu Toveach, Vishloyu Moicher, it's already his item. That's how some Rishonim explain. Another point that they make is, if we're saying that the Gonav took place before there was Yiyush, and therefore the Hegdish is not really a meaningful Hegdish, so why is he Chayiv Dalad Vehei? So they explain, it's not the point that it's effective. The point is that he tried to do it, that makes it, that he should be Chayiv. Miches Chinuch makes a very interesting observation. We know, we've discussed many times, that if somebody's magdi something, he always has a right, hegdish is a form of a neder. So he always has a right to have that neder annulled by a chacham. So what would be the halacha if you have a ganef, he stole a shor v'seh, he was magdishit, and then he goes to rav, and the rav is mat the neder, which annuls the neder retroactively as if there was never a neder. Will he be chayiv dal v'hei or not? And Miches Chinuch says he won't be chayiv dal v'hei, because retroactively he never did anything wrong. Rabbi Chanan disagrees with the Miches Chinuch on this point. Tosfos also makes the following observation. We, in a previous Gemara, we quoted this Tosfos. The Gemara, according to Tosfos, distinguishes between Hegdish of Beda Kabayis versus Hegdish of a carbon. Hegdish of a carbon, it's always called your carbon, even after you magdish it. By the kabayis, it's no longer yours. So Tosfos therefore says, what the Gemara here says, the Brisa says, that gone of a hegdish, yechayiv dalad v'hei, it's only on a hegdish of beda kabayis. If it was hegdish of a carbon, then you would not be chayiv dalad v'hei. It's not really considered that it left the ganav's possession. That's how Tosfos learns. The Ramban disagrees, given that the Brisa just makes a blanket statement, gone of a hegdish, doesn't make a difference of carbon or beda kabayis. So Ramban says clearly this brisa argues with the Gemara we learned earlier that makes a difference between hegdish carbon or hegdish beda kabayis. Gone if a hikif, if somebody stole and the shavasen sold it on credit. Gone if a hichlif, here he did a barter, he didn't do actually a sale. And it's interesting to note on gone if a hichlif, it's interesting to note, there's a very interesting shaila that's asked, that's spoken about. The Mishnah Berurah discusses the shaila. It's a shaila regarding Purim. The Gemara actually says that let's say you have people that don't have enough of shalchmanis, so what they could do is they could exchange shalchmanis with each other. I give you, and you give me, and we will both mekayim the mitzvah of shalchmanis. So the question that comes up is, let's say you have poor people. Now, an ani is mechuyiv in all mitzvahs, just like everyone else. So he has to give matanas lav yoinim. Could he be mekayim the mitzvah, that he'll give one ani, and another ani will give him back, and they will mekayim the mitzvah? Mishnah Berurah seems to say, and many poskim seem to say, that it would be acceptable. However, I saw that the shayla of tshuvas chikrei lev, and one of the rayas, is our Gemara. Because our Gemara says that doing a barter is considered a transaction. So it should be considered that they were Makayim mitzvahs, matanis lav yoinim. The Shas Chuvas Chikrei Leiv says no. He says, we learned earlier in our perek, and we'll become geshmaker as we get into the sugya today. Why is somebody chayiv dalad v'hei? He's chayiv dalad v'hei because the Gemara said, nishtarish b'cheit. Not only did he steal, but then he added insult to injury, he sold it. So it's not that the transaction is really a full-fledged transaction. It's that he's a repeat violator. So it could be that hichlev, bartering, is really not considered a valid halachic transaction, and therefore the anim cannot just barter their matanos lavyoinim. For a halach of dal v'hei, that you'll be chayiv dal v'hei. Gone of a nos matana, if you gave it away as a gift, certainly it's considered dal v'hei. Although I did see that the achroim discuss, well, be the halacha is gonav v'hifker. Somebody stole a shavasah, he didn't give it away, he was mafkrit. Some achroim say that what's the difference if he was mafkrit or he gave away as a matana? He took it away, he gave it away, it should be the same. Others say no. Only when he gave it to someone else, so there's a giver and a receiver, so to speak. But if he was just mafkrit, so there's nobody that's receiving it, and he would not be chayiv dal v'hei. Gone of a parachoyvai, if he stole a shavasah and he used it to pay up a debt, gone upar by kefa, that means he bought something in the store and he used it to pay off what he owes to the store. So the Rishayim asked, what's the difference if he used it to pay a debt or used it to pay what he owes to a storekeeper? Isn't it all the same? So they make the following distinction. They say if the ganef got cash from somebody, he borrowed cash from somebody, and now he uses the shavasah to pay back the loan. So he had actually received money at one point for the shavasah. But let's say he went to the store and he bought whatever on credit, and now he pays back with the shavasah, so he really never received cash. Maybe we should think that if you don't receive cash, you're not chayiv dal v'hei. Teaches us the Braisa that you don't have to get cash to be chayiv dal v'hei. Gone v'shalach v'savloinus. Masech t'ksubis, we discussed that when a couple got engaged, not just engaged, that at Erisin, it was common that they should send gifts to the chosin to the kala. So the Brice is teaching us that when they're only in the status of Erisin, then giving these gifts to his wife is considered like he gave it away as a matana, that we just learned Yechayiv Dal V'hei. But let's say he would give a shavasah to his wife that he already had the suin. So we have a rule. Kol ma shekana isha, kana bala. So it's really not giving it away, and he would not be Chayiv Dal V'hei. Gone of a shalach savlonis bebeis chamov, he sends it to his arusa, who's still by his father-in-law. In all of these situations, mishalem tashlume arba v'chamisha. Ask the Gemara, my kamashmon, what has this Bryce taught us new? Answers the Gemara, Ashmin and Reisha, the chiddush of the Reish is, that gone of a nosan la'ach v'tavach, he didn't do the shchit himself, he gave it over to someone else, that the aloch is, he will have to pay the dal v'hei. The af agad v'chol ha'tayr kula. Even though normally we know the halach is, ein shlich l'dvar v'eira, here, hocha yesh shlich l'dvar v'eira, somebody else shecht, and the ganef is chayiv the dal v'hei. Ask the Gemara, my tama, why indeed? If normally there's halach ein shlich l'dvar v'eira, why don't we apply it over here also? Answers the Gemara, the pasuk says, v'tofchay u'machray. Mach mechira, the le'ef shali de'acher. Mechira, by definition, requires two parties, a seller and a buyer. Aft ficha, yechai for the shchita ali de'acher. And then the Rishonim point out, now we go a step further. We go that let's say somebody sold the item, but it wasn't just a buyer and a seller. There was a broker in between. Will it be chayiv dal v'hei? We learn from shchita to mechira that even if there was a broker making the deal, he'll still be chayiv, the ganef will still be chayiv dal v'hei. Why indeed is this different than everywhere else that we say ein shlich l'dvar v'eira? And here we say that he is chayiv. So Rishonim will explain. Normally, why is the halach ein shlich l'dvar v'eira? We're going to mitzvah shem lo mesech ba mitzvah. The Gemara says divrei rav, divrei talmud, divrei mishoimim. So why did you listen to the person who told you to do an aveira when God told you not to do an aveira? Here, the ganef brings an animal to the shaychet. The shaychet knows that this is a stolen animal. He has an animal to shecht. He shechts. And therefore, the ganef is chayiv. The shmin and sefer, ganef a higdish, that if he was magdish the animal, he's chayiv dal v'hei, because mali moch lehedyet, mali moch l'shmayim, there is no difference if you transfer it to an individual or you transfer it to shmayim, it's considered mechira that the ganef should be chayiv dal v'hei. Says the Mishnah, Ganav Bershus HaBalim. The fundamental point of this Mishnah that we're going to now learn is, as we've learned many times, for something to be considered that you acquired it we have to have a kinyan. So for a geneva to be considered a geneva, the ganav has to do a maisa kinyan. And otherwise, it's not considered stolen. In fact, if we look in the contemporary paiskim, they discuss that a lot of theft that takes place nowadays is done through computer. Somebody does computer fraud. Now, nobody picks up anything when you do computer fraud. You manipulate data, but you don't really pick up anything. So anyway, there's no kefil nowadays. There's no dalvehei. Anyway, it's not a shavaseh. But let's say we had a bezdin. Mitzvah, we will have bezdin smuchim. And computers, I presume, will still be here also when Mashiach comes. So the question is, if somebody will do computer theft, will he be chayiv the kefil? The Chazon Ish points out that all of the discussion we're having here is only regarding kefil. Karen, if somebody steals from someone else, he's certainly chayiv the karen. If I steal from you, I have to return what I stole. The discussion is about kefil. So in other words, to be chayiv, for the ganav to be chayiv kefil, he has to do a kinyan. So what will be the halacha? And most Rishonim actually changed the gears of the Mishnah. They say ganav rishus balim, that you chayiv when you take it out. What's that called? Mashicha. That you're taking it out from the Bailam's property out. Actually, the Rishonim make an interesting point. We learned, and we will learn again in Masechet Bava Metzia, that for kinyan mashicha to be effective, you have to take it from the owner's rishus, but you can't take it to Rishus Rabbim, because Rishus Rabbim is a public place. It's not a place to do kinyanim. Will the same then apply by geneva? It could be when you're doing a real kinyan, when I'm buying something from you, so it's not considered a kinyan until I take it to my property, or at least I take it to somewhere like a simta, a private place. Or Rishus Rabbim, you can't do a kinyan. Maybe for geneva they want to suggest you'll be chayiv as soon as you take it even to the ganav takes it to Rishus Harabim. So ganav Rishus Habalim, if he takes it out, he does a mashicha, and then v'tavach u'mocha chus m'rishusam, and then he goes and does tficha mechira, oy sheganav chutz m'rishusam. The item that he stole was already chutz m'rishusam, the shavaseh. And now v'tavach u'mocha m'rishusam. And the Rishonim point out that the Mishnah is teaching us a very important chiddush. We would think the ganav stole the shavaseh, it wasn't in the owner's property. Now he brings it back. So maybe it should be considered that he returned it. And why will he be chayiv? He's still chayiv for a number of reasons. The simplest reason the Rishonim give is returning it without telling the owner that he returned it is not considered that he returned it. Another point is, if he really means to return it, why is he shechting it? So obviously the returning it wasn't a real hashava, and that's why he's chayiv dal vehei. Or sheganav v'tavach u'moch chutz m'rishusam, everything was done, both the geneva and the mechira was done outside of the owner's rishus, and all of these cases, the halach is v'shalom tashlumi abav v'chamisha. However, avul ganav v'tavach u'moch m'rishusam, he never, as I said at the beginning of the Mishnah, actually did a kinyan, then the halach is potter. Because without a kinyan, it's not considered a geneva. However, it points out Tosfos, and this will become more evident in the Mishnah. There is a way of doing a kinyan, even if you never take it out of the owner's rishus. Because besides a kinyan mashicha, there's also a kinyan hagbah, just lifting it. So you could do geneva. The ganav could do geneva in the owner's rishus. The Mishnah is referring here to a situation that he never did a hagbah. So since he never did hagbah, it's not considered that he stole it. So the Rishonim say, here there's a machlokes Rishonim, what does potter mean? Does potter mean that he's potter from the kefil, but he's chayiv karen? Or does potter mean that he's entirely potter because he didn't take anything? Says the Mishnah further. He's doing this mashicha. And before he actually had it removed from the owner's rishus, or makes rishus habalim, it dies while it's still the rishus habalim, potter, because he never had a kinyan. Higbiyoy. But let's say he does a hagbah, which we just said, a hagbah is considered a kinyan. Oy, hitziu mershus balim, or he was successful to complete the mashicha, and then the animal dies. At that point, umeis, the ganav becomes responsible, and he's chayiv. There are many ways in the Rishonim how to learn this last case of the Mishnah. We're going to explain it the way Rashi and Tosfos say is the preferable pshat. Nosnul b'chayis b'noy. Somebody steals something, and he gives it to a kohen, because he had a bechor, and he has to give pidyon aben. Oil b'chayif, he owed somebody money, and he gave this shor v'seh to satisfy the debt. L'shem chinim, l'shoyel, l'naisesach, l'sochetei, all the different types of shoyim. V'yemosh chameis. So the person who received it wasn't aware that this is a stolen animal. And he receives it and does the Mashiach. V'yemosh chameis. If it died, b'rishus balim, it never left the owner's rishus, so it never became anyone else, and therefore he's potter. However, if the person that the ganef gave it to was successful in removing it from the rishus balim, then the ganef is chayiv. And again, what is this Mishnah teaching us? It's teaching us the concept that we spoke about earlier, that even though somebody else did the act, but that person wasn't aware that this is a stolen item, and here we can't apply the concept of Ein Shlich L'Dvar Aveira, which we only apply where the person was aware that this is stolen. Here, the ganav goes and gives it to a kayin and say, I had a bechor, and here's the pinyan aben, or he's using it to pay a debt, and the person that receives it, his creditor receives it, he has no way of knowing that this is a stolen item. So certainly the ganav is chayiv the dal v'hei, or the ganav is chayiv the kefil, not the Kayin or the Shomer. The Shita, the Kubetzis, helps us put the Gemara into context. We know, again, we're learning a lot about Kinyonim today, Baruch Hashem. We know that throughout Shas, if I buy something from you and I pay for it, it's not considered mine. Why? Because the Gemara speaks about the concept of Nisfu Chitecha Baliyah. What does that mean? That if I will buy something from you and won't take delivery, you could always say, you know, it was a terrible tragedy. The item that you owned in my warehouse, it burnt down. You, the seller, don't feel any need to save it because it's already yours. You're going to get paid for it anyway. So Chazal said that in order for it to really be considered mine, I have to do a Mashiach. And until the buyer does Mashiach, it's the seller's responsibility. So if Chas V'Shom, a fire will break out, he'll be very careful to make sure that it's saved as much as he can, otherwise he'll be responsible. That's the halacha by every kinyan. The Gemara now begins to ask a question, what about a shomer? I ask you to watch an item on my behalf. Does the same halacha apply? This is the simplest way of learning the Gemara. That you're not a shomer until you do a kinyan, until you actually physically receive the item, until then you're not considered, or the shomer, or, as we explained, there's a special concern by a buyer and seller of nisfu chitecha baliyah. It doesn't apply anywhere else. And therefore, by a shomer, as soon as I ask you to be a shomer, and you accept the responsibility, you're considered a shomer. That's the simplest way of learning the Gemara. Other Rishonim explained the Gemara that's referring to a situation where the shomer is allowed to use the item. You rented the item or you borrowed the item. At what point may you begin using it? At the point that we came to agreement or only after you do a kinyan? A third way of explaining the Gemara is there's also a shomer socher, who I'm paying to watch the item. At what point does the clock start ticking? Does it start ticking as soon as you accept we came to an agreement that you'll be the Shomer Socher, or only after the Shomer Socher did a kinyan, at that point do I have to start paying? So that's the Gemara's question. Baya Meima, Tiknu Mashiach v'Shomerim Aloi. Did Chazal say that you have that a Shomer to be considered responsible has to have a kinyan? Amar Yemer, Toshma. Why don't we learn from our Mishnah? It said in the Mishnah we just learned it, at least especially according to the way we explain the Mishnah, Nas l'b'charis b'noi ol b'achoyvay. And he did Mashiach, and it was going out v'meis b'shus abalim potter. My love, what is the Mishnah teaching us? That the Shomer did the Mashiach. V'shmamina, isn't our Mishnah teaching us that for a Shomer to be responsible, he has to do a Mashiach? Shmamina, isn't our Mishnah clearly a proof that tiknu Mashiach m'shomerim, that even Shomerim have to do a Mashiach to become responsible? Amalei loy. But the Mishnah is referring to the ganav. The Mishnah is teaching us that it doesn't become the ganav's until he does Mashiach. Ask the Gemara, Hatana Le'Resha. We already learned that din, that it doesn't become the ganav's until he does Mashiach. Because the Resha said, ganav shegonav beis abalim. So answer the Gemara, Tana, ganav shegonav beis abalim, but Tana, ganav shegonav beis ha-shomer. The Mishnah is giving us two examples. One example is when the ganav stole it from the owner's house, And another example is when he stole it from the Shomer's house. Amalei Rav Ashi, says Rav Ashi, that can't be pshat in the Mishnah. But titchili, don't try to explain the Mishnah that way. Because Mali got him shagonim a base of Shomer, Mali got him shagonim a base of Balaam. Why should it make a difference from where he stole it? Elalaf. Again, what must the Mishnah be safe to be teaching us? That the Shomer is doing the Shmashicha. The Shmamina, and our Mishnah is teaching us, that the Chiv of Shmashicha applies to Shomer as well. Et Menami, Amr Belazer, Kederach Shetikna Mashicha Belkuchis, that when you sell something, it's not considered the buyer's until he does Mashicha, Kach Titnu Mashicha B'Shaimrim. The Shaimer doesn't become responsible until there's a Mashicha. And in fact, the Mefarshim point out, usually the Gemara would use the wording Kishayim. Here the Gemara uses the words Kederach to show us that they're completely identical, and all the halachas that we will Mitzvah Shem learn and Masechet Metziah that apply to Kinyanim apply by Shaimrim as well. Tanya Nami Hachi. And so too do we learn in the Braisa, Kederach Shetiknu Mashicha B'Lekuches, Kach Tiknu Mashicha B'Shaimrim. Furthermore, says the Braisa, Shem Shakarka Niknis B'Kesef B'Shtar B'Chazaka, all of these three ways are acceptable to affect the Kinyan by buying property, Kach Schiris Niknis B'Kesef B'Shtar B'Chazaka. So too could rental be affected through Kesef B'Shtar B'Chazaka. Ask the Gemara, Schiris D'Mai, what are we renting? Ilema, schiris the metatlon, though somebody's renting a movable object. Ask the Gemara, metatlon b'nei shtarin inu? Can we affect a rental of a movable object through a shtar? Amar Chizda, you're right. It's talking about schiris the karka. That if I'm renting property, it could be affected through a shtar. Why can't metatlon be rented through a shtar? So Rishonim gives two reasons. One reason is a property, a piece of land could be very easily, could be identified according to where it is, the block, the lot, the borders. A table, let's say you're selling a table. A table is a table is a table. It's hard to properly, individually identify it, and therefore it's hard to write a shtar over a movable object. Another pshat that Rishonim suggests is that the whole din that shtar works by karka is learned from a pasuk. And the pasuk speaking strictly by karka. So maybe only karka shtar works nowhere else. Amar Belezer, says the Gemara Rosh Shehitma B'Charshim. We begin, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, to finish the sugyas of Dalad V'Hei. Amar Belezer, Ruah Shehitma B'Charshim. They saw a ganef hiding in the forest. The Tavach U'Machar, and the ganef does Tvicha Mechira. The Halacha is, Mishalem Tashlum Abav V'Chamisha. He's obligated to pay Dal V'Chamisha. Ask the Gemara based on the previous sugya, Amai, Holay Moshach. We said until the Ganav does Mashicha, he's not Chayef. I'm Rav Chizda. You don't have to do Mashicha. There's another way of affecting a Kenyan. Shekhi Shibamakal. If he gave the animal a zetz with a stick, and that's why it's considered a Kenyan. Ask the Gemara, and this is a very important point. I'm not sure we emphasized it enough. The entire din of Kefil, the entire din of Dal Vahey is only by a ganif, not by a gazlan. A ganif is somebody who does it surreptitiously. You don't see him, as we'll see soon in the Gemara. A gazlan is somebody who does it publicly. Ask the Gemara if he did it, that other people saw him. The keep in the row, gazlan who? So he's automatically a gazlan. So why would he have to pay Dal Vahey? Answers the Gemara. Even the commitment, since we see that the person is trying to hide, even though there are Edim that actually saw what occurred, Ganafu, he's still in the category of a Ganaf. Ask the Gemara, what is an example of a Gazlan? Where will we have a Gazlan? The Pasuk speaks about Ben Yoah Ben Yoda. Shenema, the Pasuk says regarding him, he stole the spear, and he stabbed him in public. Rav Yochanan Amar, ki goyim ba'al Shechem. As the story that's recited about Shechem. Shenemar, v'yisim aloi ba'al Shechem ma'arvim al rosh ha'harim. The people from Shechem sat in ambush on top of the mountains. V'yigzos kosha over aleihem. And they attacked, they stole for anybody to pass by b'derech on the road. Ask the Gemara, v'vuah my tama loyim mahai. The way the Mefarshim explained the Gemara, this is a pasuk in Shoiftim. The other is a pasuk in Shmuel. So why doesn't he quote the pasuk in Shoiftim? Why does he wait till the pasuk in Shmuel? Amlach, kiva de mitmeri et muri. Since these people were first sitting in ambush, like gazlinenu. They can't be considered gazlanim, because as we've been explaining, a gazlin is somebody who does it publicly. So now we have a question of Rabbi Yochanan. How does he call the Baalei Shechem gazlanim if they were hiding? Answers the Gemara of Rabbi Yochanan, had the commitment, they weren't hiding because they were scared. They only were hiding the way nichse inchi v'narkem manayu. They weren't hiding because they were scared. They were hiding because if people would see them, they would go on a different road. But they weren't embarrassed, and therefore they're in the category of gazlanim. The other mandama holds that even though we see it clearly that they were very brazen, but the fact that there is an element of hiding, they're not considered gazlanim. Ask the Gemara. Shol Talmidav as Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, v'neima achmir atayr beganef, yosh begazlan. Here we see that the Torah is stricter with a ganef. He has to pay kefil, he has to pay dal v'hei, and not by a gazlan. And the Mefarshim explained the Gemara's question. Shouldn't a gazlan have to pay more? There's a chilul Hashem by a gazlan. By a ganef, there's a less of a chilul Hashem. And we're always concerned about the chilul Hashem. Why are we not concerned here? Omelem, zeh hishvet kvayt eved l'kvayt kainoi. The gazlan is not scared of anyone. He's not scared of God. He's not scared of people. The zeh lo hishvet kvayt eved l'kvayt kainoi. The ganef is scared only of people, but he's not scared of God. Kaviyochol, also ayin shamat kila in roi. He acts as if Hashem doesn't see what we're doing. The oizen shamat kila in shemaz, as if he doesn't hear what we're saying. So Mefarshim asks, we could understand what the Gemara says, that he treats Hashem as if he doesn't see. As if he doesn't see him stealing. What does the oizen have to do? What does the hearing have to do by Geneva? Says the Yahyad, the Ben Yahyad, the beautiful Pshat. When somebody's a victim of a Geneva, he's very down. And he cries out to Hashem. The Ganef believes that Hashem doesn't hear this victim's cries. But Hashem does hear. Shnemar, it's a Lashon Sagino, it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shnemar, Hoy Amikim Hashem, Lista Eitza, Vahoy Machshich Maseyem, they hide, V'ksiv V'yomer Lo Yiru Ka, V'lo Yovin Alakei Yaakov, they make believe as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't see, V'ksiv Ki Omer Hashem Ozov Es Oretz, V'en Hashem Roya. They believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't see what's going on. Omer Ameya, Moshel Moshel, how can we understand through a marshal what this is all about? There were two people in a city. They both were making a party. He invited everybody, but the children of the king he ignored. He invited no one. Who did a greater sin? That he invited only the rest of the people and ignored the king. Here too, the Gadnef who ignores Hashem does a much greater sin. Mefarshim also give different pshatim why a Gadnef is worse than a gazlan. Loisignoiv is in the Aseres Adibros, not Loisigzel. So we know that people take what it says in the Aseres Adibros very seriously. And this person didn't take what it says in the Seres Adibros seriously. Another pshat is that a gazlan is much less likely to happen than a ganef. For somebody to go out in the open and steal is not that common. Therefore, the Torah saw more of a need to give a knas by a ganef, which is more likely to happen. Another pshat is that the gazlan, everybody knows, he does it publicly. So everybody knows that he's a gazlan. So he already has his punishment, that everybody labels him, that's the gazlan. The ganef could be a ganef and everybody thinks that he's the best person in shul. So that's why we're more concerned about the ganef. Another pshat is, by a gazlan, it's more likely that you're going to get back the item, because you know who to go to. By a ganef, you don't know who to go to. There's a beautiful vart from the Brisker Rav, based on this Gemara. The Brisker Rav says, we know, the Torah teaches us, we have an obligation to hate and destroy a Molech. Many people say this pasuk every day. So the question he asks is, unfortunately, Klal Yisrael has suffered at the hands of enemies, of many enemies, over its years. A Molech wasn't our first enemy. Our first enemy perhaps was Mitzrayim. So why is there such a specific hatred to Molech more than to anyone else. So he says, our Gemara is the answer to that question. What does our Gemara say? Our Gemara says that a ganef is worse than a gazlan. What's the difference between a ganef and a gazlan? Says the Brisker Rav. A ganef plans out the geneva. He's going to do it in a way that he shouldn't get caught. He's going to walk in. He's going to do it hidden, surreptitiously. It's all premeditated. A gazlan is a mechutzif. He's not scared to go over to you and hold you up. Somebody who does it in a veira, he says, premeditated, is far worse than somebody, the Yetzirah gets the better of him and he does an aveira. Let's look in the Pasuk, says the Brisker Rav, about a molek. The Pasuk says, regarding Klal Yisrael, as a molek attacked them, Vata oyef yogeya. Klal Yisrael was very tired. They just gone through leaving Mitzrayim. They just gone through Kriyas Yamsuf. It was a difficult time. And what did a molek do? They knew that Klal Yisrael was at a time of weakness, and they took advantage of their weak state to attack. He says, that's far worse. An enemy that hates Klal Yisrael, and they want to kill us, we know, Shloach v'var omaleinu l'chaloseinu, that's the Jewish experience. But Amalek had this extra level of planning out what he wants to do it, when we were particularly vulnerable, which is the same as a ganef. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Amalek is considered our worst enemy. Continues the Gemara. Amar Meir, Bar Ei Kama Godel Koyach Shemalacha. Let's see how great it is to work. Shor Shebitlam Malacha. A shor, if somebody steals a shor from its owner, so a shor is an animal that the owner works with. Chamisha, he has to pay 5 times its value if he did Tficha Mechira. Se, Shloi Bitlam Malacha. A se doesn't work, so you only have to pay arba. On Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Bar Ei Kama Godel Koyach Abrius. Look how Kadosh Baruch Hu is concerned about people's honor. Shor Shalach Baraglav, by a shor, the ganef didn't have to schlep him. He could walk on his own. Chamisha, so you only have to pay chamisha. Se Shekiva El Ksefav, the se you can't walk, he has to carry him. So there's a level of bezoyin, of embarrassment to the ganef, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu is even worried about the bezoyin of a ganef, and he also only has to pay arba. So firstly, the Shita says, this is only regarding Dalet Vehei. Kefil, there's no difference. You always have to pay Kefil. Why do we make a difference by Dalet Vehei and not by Kefil? So the Shita says very poshut. Kefil Yechayiv goes back to the beginning of the Shir. For the actual taking out the item, as we learned in the Mishnah, from the owner's Rishus outside. That doesn't make a difference if it's a Shor, it's a Seh, or something else. For that transfer, Yechayiv Kefil. Now the Chiyuv Dal Vehei is a new Chiyuv, and different factors come into play, as our Gemara just said. The Achroinim discuss, again, it's not that relevant in our time, because we don't have Dal Vehei, and we don't really steal that many Shor V'seh. But the question that the Achroinim discuss is, given the reasons that the Gemara just gave, the Halacha may change. In other words, let's say somebody didn't steal a Shor, he stole an eagle, a calf. So number one, a calf can't work. Doesn't work yet. And number two, a calf also you may have to carry. So will the din change by a shor and a seh, based on if it's a calf or based on other factors? Most achroin and paskin, that once the Torah tells us that by shor you pay chamisha and by seh you pay dalet, even though our Gemara gave us different reasons why, the din remains the din. A shor is always chamisha, even if it's an eagle, and a seh is always Dalid, even let's say the say you didn't have to carry. The Mefarshim, just to end the sugya on a nice note, the Dalid Vehei. The Mefarshim say, Gaval de Gavard. Here the Torah teaches us that somebody steals a Shor V'seh, so by a Seh there was more Tircha, and therefore the Ganef has to pay less. So in the Mefarshim, now let's look at the other way. Let's say somebody does a mitzvah. From here we see the more Tircha, the more effort somebody had to do to accomplish a mitzvah, that is all going to be taken into consideration when we get the schar from HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the mitzvahs that we do. Says the Mishnah. Actually, our Mishnah has nothing to do with Dal V'Hei. It has nothing to do with Dal V'Hei. It's being brought down here. The Mefarshim give different reasons why this Mishnah comes here. One is because it speaks about animals. and we're learning the halachas of Shabbaseh. Another explanation, the Yamsha Shlomo suggests, is that we now have a problem. When will you be chayiv dalad v'hei? If you're not allowed, as our Mishnah says, to raise a behemoth dak in Eretz Yisrael, and chutz laretz, there's no knas, because they didn't have bezdin smuchim, so where are the halachas relevant? And that's actually what the Mishnah is saying, that we're really not going to have many circumstances that are going to be chayiv dalad v'hei. Because, says the Mishnah, Eim agabim behemoth dak in Eretz Yisrael. Not allowed to raise a behemoth dak in Eretz Yisrael, because we're concerned that the animal will wander into someone else's field. And this question is a very modern question, because after we came back to Eretz Yisrael, and we have animals in Eretz Yisrael, so the question that comes up is, are you allowed to have farms in Eretz Yisrael with animals nowadays? So the Har Tzvi, this is a very big chiddush, many Paiskim disagree with the Har Tzvi, and the Har Tzvi says that since there was a long period that there were no Jews in Eretz Yisrael, so during that period there was no din of Eima Agadlin Behema Daka Be'eretz Yisrael, so that rule became void, and it doesn't come back when Klai Yisrael came back to Eretz Yisrael. Very bechidish. The Rav Vozner and the Shevet Alevi has a very hard time explaining it. So they say different reasons. Nowadays, in those days, you know, animals and people lived in close proximity. You had in your backyard your animals. Nowadays, even if somebody raises animals, he doesn't raise them in his backyard. There are farms designated where animals are raised, and there are cities where people live. In the time of Chazal, where it was all one, animals and people, it was all mixed up, there is a concern that the animal is going to wander into somebody else's field. But nowadays, where it's much more segregated, and the place can go on, certainly any place where there are animals is properly fenced in, the halacha of Emagadim Behemadaka would not apply. Emagadim Besuria, Suria we know is not really considered Eretz Yisrael. It's an area where there's a kibush yachid, and kibush yachid loishme kibush, and different halachas don't apply. Midbar Shal Tisrael, and the same din applies in the Midbar of Eretz Yisrael. Emagadim Tanagolim Yerushalayim, we're not allowed to raise chickens in Yerushalayim, Bibnei HaKotchim. What does HaKotchim mean? The people, not only Kahanim, are eating kachim in Yerushalayim from all the kabbonis that were brought in the base of Mikdash, and the chickens have a way of schlepping bones and other things that could cause tumah. Furthermore, v'loy kahanim b'Eretz Yisrael b'mnei taharis. Kahanim have to be particularly concerned that they should become tamei, because a kohen that's tamei may not eat truma, so he shouldn't raise chickens, again, not to come into connection with a chicken that could bring him and make him tamei. Emagadim chazirim become makam. We'll explain this mitzvah in the Gemara. Lo yigadl adam as a caliph. Furthermore, a person should not raise a dog because it bites and it barks. Elm can only kosh b'shal shalos unless it's properly chained. Ein parsim nishovim l'yoinim. You're not allowed to spread out nests for doves to be caught. Elm can only rach m'nayishuv. It has to be 4 mil away from where people live. Tana Rabbanan. Emagadim behemadak b'Eretz Yisrael. We're not allowed to raise behemadak in Eretz Yisrael. Amagadim b'choroshim shev Eretz Yisrael. In the forest, you may raise them. B'Suria, you're allowed to raise them afil b'yishuv, even in the city. Vein tzarech loimer, that certainly in chutz laretz, you may raise behemadak. Tan yidach, there's another b'raisa. Emagadlim behemadak b'Eretz Yisrael. We're not allowed to raise a behemadak in Eretz Yisrael. Avemagadlim b'midbash v'Yehuda. You're allowed to raise him in the midbar of Yehuda. Or b'midbash v'sfar Akoy. That's near Akoy on the border. V'apish amr emagadlim behemadak. Even though we're speaking about when and when you may not raise a behemadak, avemagadlim behemagasa. A behemagasa you are allowed to raise. Lefi she'en goyzun gzeir el tzibur elm kein roivet tzibur yecholim lamed boy, which means simply, as we learned earlier, they used to do a lot of work with the shor. They didn't have cars and motors. The shor used to schlep. So if you're going to say that somebody can't own a shor, it's going to become impossible for anybody to cultivate and run a farm, which was their main means of livelihood, agriculture. Avamashu koin l'regl shloshim yoyim. On Yontif, there's a mitzvah to eat meat. So 30 days before Yontif, you already rather bring a behemoth daka that you should have meat available. Or koin mishti benoy, if he's making a wedding. Again, he has to serve meat. Lamed yoyim. Uvat shloyishas achroinim shloshim yoyim. Which means, somebody brought animals before Yontif or before the wedding, and he shouldn't say that, you know what, maybe I couldn't use up all the animals. He overbought. He has to sell or shecht all the animals before Yontif or before the wedding. We would perhaps think, the butcher bought a lot of animals, but didn't buy all the animals specifically 30 days before Yontif. He started buying, and some of the animals only came a week or two before Yontif. So we would think that he always gets 30 days. 30 days have not passed since he received delivery of these animals. We shouldn't say that after he has up to 30 days to keep it. El kivin the nafik le'regel, once the yontif is over, le'boy le'lishuye, he has no right to hold on to the animal. Furthermore, by tabach le'keich v'shoichet, shoy he could buy and shecht, he could buy and hold on to it. Uvach le'yisha agunish ben lamidyoyim, which as Tosfos explains as follows: sometimes you have a situation where you buy a whole lot of animals, the butcher buys a whole lot of animals, and he was able to sell off most of the animals, but one animal he's left with. So he shouldn't say, you know what, I got stuck with this one animal, and I should be allowed to hold on to it until I could sell it for a proper profit. Rather, once Yontif comes, or once the time comes, he has to sell it off, even though it'll involve not making the profit that he wanted to.
Thank you.